This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. This is another Elephant Live episode, and my special guests today are Mr. Taylor Otwell and Mr. Joe Ferguson. Say hello to everybody, gentlemen.
Hi. Hello.
Now, if you're joining us live, we appreciate you joining us live. The Elephant Live episodes are broadcast as webinars, but if you're joining us just with the audio, we hope you enjoy this. We're going to be talking about Laravel today. And Taylor, I seem to remember Laravel coming on to the scene like 3 years ago, and that was when I started seeing it happen, I know it probably existed for a while before then, but all of a sudden I see this. Okay, I'm sorry. Yet another framework. I mean, we had Xen framework, and it was there, and Xen framework allowed Symfony to exist just so that it looked like some competition. But and now we got another framework. Oh dear God, why? That was a joke. This is largely for my edification, but I'd like to know, why did you create Laravel? What's the backstory for Laravel?
So I created Laravel in 2011, and at the time I was doing .NET and COBOL and Classic ASP, and those were hard to manage or to launch as a side project. And so I decided to use PHP because it's much easier to throw out on a server and run on even just a cheap shared host. So, but I wanted to bring in some of the features I had in .NET, especially ASP.NET MVC, which were their dependency injection container, their template inheritance and stuff. And I was so new to PHP, I had only used CodeIgniter before. I hadn't used any other PHP frameworks and didn't really know it was a faux pas to write your own framework, because I didn't even know any other PHP developers. I just knew .NET developers. So I started writing it in my free time. I think the first piece I wrote was actually the dependency injection container, and I released that as a package for CodeIgniter first, and it didn't get a lot of attention. Then I kept writing other pieces and used some other components that other people had written, and shipped Laravel 1.0 in the summer of 2011, mainly for myself. I did try to document it really well, which I think helped with the initial uptake. And I think it came in at the right time in the right place, because CodeIgniter, people were feeling antsy about how did Ellis Lab, the company behind CodeIgniter, what was their long-term plan for it? Did they really care about it, since they had Expression Engine, which was really their moneymaker, and CodeIgniter was just a free project they had released, you know? Yeah. So it was kind of in the right place at the right time, I think, to kind of take the torch from CodeIgniter and carry it on into PHP 5.3, which was sort of new at the time, and Laravel supported or used exclusively, really. So that was how it got started, and ever since then, it's just kind of grown each year. One of the first big breaks for Laravel was in that winter. I released it in the summer. That winter, I got hired by Userscape, by Ian Landsman, to help them rewrite some of their help desk software on Laravel. And at the time, Laravel was only like Laravel 2 or 1.5 or something like that. It was really early. So it was a pretty big risk for them, I guess, to take on such a young framework. But it sort of gave me the time, because Ian let me work on Laravel for like the first 3 months I worked at Userscape. I worked on Laravel full time, actually, just getting it ready for us to use, because it needed features like database migration, stuff that a team would need to use Laravel. So we got it ready for that kind of environment, and that really helped fuel it. And he's kind of the one that kind of helped get the first Laracon off the ground and stuff like that. So, and now it's I think we're on our fourth or fifth Laracon. So,
wow, Well, first of all, respect for classic ASP. Okay, it's nice to see the kids out there using the old tools. So because that's what that was. Actually, that was the second web development platform I ever used. Before ASP, and this was before we had the term classic, but before ASP, Microsoft had one called ICQ HTX, and it was a lot like Cold Fusion. It just kind of merged stuff together and spit it out in, and this was in the beta of IIS, and that was the very first thing I ever used. And
I never heard of that one.
Yeah, not a lot of people have. When I moved to ASP, the first thing I did was put my resume up. And so I ran into work one morning and showed it to my boss. I said, look what I've done. I data modeled the resume and all this kind of stuff. And I brought it up, and it showed my resume. And he's like, something you trying to tell me here, Cal? But, yeah, that was truly interesting to me that that is your background. I had heard people talk about that, but I was like, you don't see a lot of people coming over from the .NET and the enterprise world and bringing those concepts over into PHP. So yeah. It's very interesting that that's where you're coming from. Well, let's talk a little bit because, by the way, you mentioned Ian. That's Ian Landsman of Userscape. We'll throw a link in the show notes to him. And I think I was actually – was the very first LoRCon the one in New York?
That was the second one. The first one was in Washington, D.C. It was only about 90 people. It was pretty small.
Ah, okay. Well, I spoke at the second one, and oh my God, that was a wonderful time. That was just so many great people there, and you had some great speakers. And I love the fact that it was just a single track because then you didn't have to worry. I mean, you were going to get all the goodness out of that conference. So, and I know you got another one coming up soon. That's going to be it's going to be every bit as awesome. And you're back in New York.
Yeah, back in New York.
Yeah, very cool. But you've done more than just build a framework. And this is what's been very interesting to me because up to this point, most of PHP development has been, well, let's build a framework. By the way, it's not a faux pas to build your own framework. I think Liz Smith says every PHP developer needs to build their own framework once, but then she continues by saying, and then throw it away. But it's not, all of us have done it. You've done it very successfully. So, but one of the things that I think has made this successful beyond the documentation, because the documentation is not only very complete but very beautiful to read. You've built an ecosystem, or you've built several different pieces beyond the framework. Give us a little bit of overview about what the pieces are.
Okay, so there's a handful of free components that supplement Laravel, and then there's a couple paid things that go with Laravel. So the free things are they're separate packages that live under the Laravel namespace on GitHub, and they're things like Laravel Cashier, which is a package for doing Stripe recurring billing, Laravel Homestead, which Joe's involved in, I think we're going to dig into later, which is a Vagrant VM. One of the newer ones is Laravel Valet, which is this PAL is a tool in Ruby, and that's what inspired Laravel Valet, but it's an alternative to Homestead. Actually, it's more of a local development environment that doesn't require a virtual machine. And all of these things were sort of me scratching my own itch as I went along building Laravel and building stuff on Laravel, because I built Laravel Forge, which is one of the paid offerings, and it provisions servers on DigitalOcean or Linode or AWS. And when I built Forge, I needed certain things. You know, I needed recurring billing, so that I needed to build something like Cashier to build Forge. At Userscape, we needed a good development environment that we could share with each other because when we first started, we were using MAMP, I think, and it just got painful because we needed certain extensions and we needed our environments to kind of be the same. And so that's when we built Laravel Homestead, was when I was at Userscape and we needed to scratch that itch. So most of them have come out of actual needs that me or my team have had over the years, and most developers have the same problems, you know, so it's easy to share those things. That's kind of where they come from. The two paid ones are Forge and Envoyer and Spark. I guess there's three ones now, but Envoyer does zero downtime deployments, and Spark is sort of all the work I did building Forge and Envoyer, building a SaaS, I tried to take most of the boilerplate of that and put it into Spark so that if you need to build a product that does monthly or yearly billing on a software as a service type platform, Laravel Spark is a good starting point for building something like that.
Joe, now that's something we could look at. Joe and I are in the midst of a project.
It just so happens that I've been neck deep in some Spark lately.
Yes, you have. Hey, since Joe is now awake and not hitting on his 40 over there, Joe, you came at Laravel from a developer perspective, okay? What attracted you to Laravel over the obvious Zen framework choice? I'm going to get in trouble for this.
So why did I deviate from our Lord and Savior Zend?
Right, exactly.
So I found Laravel kind of at the tail end of Laravel 3. Laravel 4 was just about to be announced, and I came across this awesome blog post by this awesome guy that I've still yet to meet, Dale Reese, who captured me with one sentence. He said that this code reads like prose, and I was immediately intrigued. I was like, I have never seen code that looks that good, that reads like, that I would call prose. So I read everything on his blog site at the time, and it was all talking about all of this, the Laravel syntax, how easy it was to read, how naturally it flowed, how it was so just easy to understand what was doing, what was happening, and the complexity that it was making really, really easy and upfront to understand. There was a lot of magic, but it was very easy to understand the magic, in my opinion. So he had a book, and I believe it was called Code Bright or Code Happy, and he was giving it away, and he was selling it. And if you went to his website, it was essentially the book was just there for free, and you could consume all the content. And I did that, and then as soon as I realized I could have bought it too, I bought it as well. I mean, this is just amazing content. And he was one of the original people that I came across that were kind of teaching people how to do Laravel and how to get into it. And that's really where I found it, because at the time I was using a little bit of CodeIgniter, a little bit of the old Pyro CMS, and just kind of fumbling my way around different frameworks until I found something that really kind of stuck. And the expressiveness and the syntax of Laravel is kind of really what captured my attention. And the ease of onboarding was incredible. The documentation was really awesome, and it was really easy to get up and going, and it answered a lot of the easy or the some of the harder questions of, you know, how do you get started on a local environment? How do you get it off of your computer? Those were some of the things that Laravel focused on in their documentation that really kind of helped me wrap my head around what I was getting myself into in a framework, whereas other frameworks weren't as good at that at the time. I remember I was just digging into Laravel 3 really, really good, and I was really about to start working on my first app, and then the Laravel 4 announcement came out that it was going to be, you know, here's Laravel 4 is coming, we're about to do this big alpha, and I was like, okay, I'm going to hold off. So I waited like 2 weeks, and then I jumped in real heavy with it, with the 4 alpha, and I've been kind of involved in writing a lot of Laravel stuff as well as trying to learn as much as I can and help other people learn ever since.
Very cool. Well, you touched on a theme that I hear a lot from Laravel developers. Now, I am not a Laravel developer, okay? And Joe has seen some of my code. Most of my code is written with the Symfony console component, and that's about it. They don't let me anywhere near something that an end user is going to look at. So I'm back end and middleware. But and I'm not really experimenting with Laravel yet, but everybody that I talk to about it, the thing that they say is what Joe just said. It's easy to get started with, and I say, well, why did you choose Laravel? He said, I just wanted to get stuff done. And that seems to be the theme with it, and PHP mirrors that. You know, a lot of people choose PHP because they just want to get stuff done, but PHP has grown to the point where it can become a monster, and it's nice to see people like Taylor and Joe, you're working with him, focusing on things that just help developers get stuff done. Comments? Taylor, was that anywhere near where you were shooting for, or did you just want to write your own framework?
Yeah, well, it had to be where I was shooting for, because the whole purpose behind Laravel was so that I, myself, as one person, could build projects. So it had to be a productive environment for a single developer, which means I need to be able to get stuff done pretty rapidly. And the tools it was inspired by were fairly rapid, so that philosophy kind of carries over. So I looked at tools like a Sinatra and Ruby and Ruby on Rails, which were both Ruby frameworks, and those were actually more the frameworks I looked at for inspiration, because I just thought they had cool – the way they read was kind of cool. Another – with the way the code is actually written was mainly also inspired by this little English book called Elements of Style, which is a really popular little booklet, but it's only about 50 pages, and you can read it in a day, but it's just about writing clear English. It's not a programming book, but I used that book quite a bit as inspiration. So, but yeah, that was definitely what I was shooting for, because it was just me wanting to get these side projects off the ground.
Very cool. We've talked a little bit about some of the pieces. One of the things I want to mention before we move on is, in addition to the pieces that you've built for the ecosystem, there is an ecosystem growing up around it. I mean, I'm watching my Twitter feed, and Adam Wathan just came up on it, and he wrote his containers, or not containers, what is his book? Collections. Well, he's working on his testing out, but he worked. He wrote his collections, and that was based on his work with Laravel. And Jeffrey Way has built Laracast into just a behemoth. You know, if you're doing PHP these days, you've got to be a part of that, because there's just so much there that it's not even all Laravel anymore. It's a MySQL, Docker. It covers everything. You've created an environment that other people can grow in as well, and I like that. And I'm starting to see other frameworks sit up and take notice. Symfony is starting to build some of the tools that the Laravel community has, and it's very interesting to watch how this whole the ideas that you have planted are now growing not only in Laravel but in other areas. So. We owe you a debt for that. Hey, before we go any further, because we're going to dive into Homestead in just a second, I want to take a pause and talk about our sponsor, one of my other projects that Joe is actually involved in with me, Nomad PHP. Nomad PHP brings you the best talks from PHP conferences around the world. We gather online twice a month, and we learn and grow as developers. Now, all of our talks are advanced-level talks, okay, and they're given by the experts. Taylor, you were one of our early guests a couple, 3 years ago, and you talked about Laravel, and it was a great talk. In fact, we need to get you back on. But if you're a senior PHP developer, or if you're looking to become a senior PHP developer, join us. Visit nomadphp.com today and start your habit of continuous learning. Okay, let's talk about Homestead. And Joe, I'm going to turn my attention to you now for a little bit. Tell us what Homestead is and what you've been doing on it lately, because every time I turn around, you're like, Homestead, Homestead, Homestead. So obviously you're doing a little bit with it for the past 2 or 3 months.
So recently, Taylor let me take over kind of building the base boxes of Homestead. If you're not familiar with how Homestead works, we have the box that you actually use the Homestead repo with is built by another repo called Settler, which is kind of where all the heavy lifting of customizing the VM comes in. It's done that way, and it's really awesome because it allows you, the end user, the developer, to have about a 60-second vagrant uptime to bring up the environment instead of a 15-minute time to provision it and install PHP. Developers don't care about installing PHP. They don't care about installing MySQL, Maria, or Beanstalk, or any of these other tools. They just want to spin up their environment and run. So what I've done, what I've been working on is adding features and bug fixes to set the Settler repo, which is how we build the base blocks, and then making sure all those features and bug reports are being handled and taken care of as quickly as I can get to them, or as somebody else that can chime in can get to them. Some of the big changes that we've done in the past 2 months is we have started supporting Parallels for the Mac platform. We had an offer from the Parallels company said, hey, we'll give you a free license if you want to support this. And I was like, well, sure, why not? Let's see how hard it is. And it really wasn't any harder than any other platform we support. We've also updated the VMware box so that you can use VMware. So right now we fully support VirtualBox, VMware, and Parallels. I'm working on Hyper-V. I still haven't gotten any further than that, getting that working or anything, but we'll see if we can get native Hyper-V support. But really, I mean, I've kind of been involved in Homestead off and on for a while, just kind of scratching my own itch as well. When Homestead 2 came out, that was at the first or second, it was right after the first or second PHP World Conference, I believe. And Homestead 2 was a big change because it went it automated a lot of things for you, and it was the exact opposite of how I used Homestead. And it was really frustrating for me at the time because it was like, why are you doing all this? This is not how I work. And then it's like, oh, well, a bunch of other people are working in a completely different way, and they like working like this. Okay, that's cool. So I spent some time going back and forth with Taylor, and what ultimately happened was I built a standalone package for Homestead that allowed me to install Homestead into a project, so essentially a per-project installation of Homestead that made it really easy to share my dev environment with anybody who wanted to contribute to any of my projects. And I really liked that isolation of the one VM for one project. A lot of people don't because you end up with a lot of VMs. That's totally fine. Well, what that library or that package that I built ended up becoming was the Homestead per project. I worked with Taylor a good bit in getting that merged into the official Homestead and the official Homestead support. So you can install Homestead globally where you have one machine that you have all of your projects mapped into, or you can install it into just one project, which is how I like to do it, just because it's easier for people who may not have used Homestead before and don't already have an existing Homestead setup. So you can use it either way. That was probably my biggest contribution to Homestead so far, was that per project.
Very cool. Now, I want to dive into it. I'm stepping lightly here because I don't want to name any names or shame anybody, but there was a little bit of controversy over Homestead either earlier December or late November when the company that built Vagrant and hosts all the Vagrant boxes asked you to move your box to another one because you were doing 60 terabytes of transfer a month. Am I anywhere near that?
Yeah, it was something like that, and I got a little more info on that, and basically, they'll keep hosting it, which is great, but they have a lot of trouble with botnets attacking that whole infrastructure of boxes, from what I understand, so that really bogs it down a lot, so they get a bunch of traffic, so... Mm-hmm. They asked, did I have any other options for hosting it, which I would still like to explore to take the burden off of them. But it's just it's expensive, you know, to host that much bandwidth. It's thousands of dollars a month to host
that much
bandwidth.
So. Actually, the kicking you off or asking you to move was not the focus on it. It was the 60 terabytes of transfer. I mean, that's a mind-boggling number. You almost have to go into porn to look at numbers like that. So,
yeah, it's downloaded millions and millions of times.
That is phenomenal. Is that like one of their top boxes?
Yeah.
Or
it's the number two box. The number one box is Ubuntu, the official Ubuntu box.
So the number two box is Laravel, which is a PHP project. That is phenomenal. So
yeah, and I just wanted to... Sorry, not to name any names, but there was a certain new person building the Laravel boxes there for a couple of weeks that was pushing like four and five boxes every couple of days. So that probably wasn't helping. There was a little bit of a learning curve, especially when I was figuring out the VMware stuff, because the VMware thing was a completely out of left field for me. It was like somebody was like, hey, we haven't had an update in a while. And I was like, well, sure, I'll buy some software. And I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot to this. That was a bit of an awakening for me. So I learned a lot about VMware in a short amount of time and pushed a lot of box updates. So if you were one of those users that had to download 3 or 4 gigs in a couple of days, sorry. We got much better about that very fast.
So it's Joe's fault that Vagrant was DDoSed. So.
I'm sure it didn't help.
Well, we're coming to the end of our time here. I want to ask you, gentlemen, we'll go Taylor first, then Joe. Same two questions I ask everybody. What's your local user group, and what's the URL?
Local user group in Arkansas. I actually attend the .NET user group sometimes because we don't have a PHP user group, although we have had a few Laravel user group meetings, I think twice maybe last year, and we had about 10 people drove hours from all over Arkansas. So This is a Arkansas is a big .NET town or state. We have Walmart, Tyson Food, several other .NET shops. There's not a lot of PHP, but we should start one.
There you go. And Joe, I know you've got an answer for this.
Absolutely. Memphis PHP is my local user group. I'm the organizer. You can find us at memphisphp.org.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank both of you for being here. Joe, thank you for everything that you do in maintaining Homestead and helping me with Nomad PHP and being stupid enough to say, yeah, I'll work on that anytime I say I've got no idea. So thank you. And Taylor, thank you for everything that you do for the PHP community. I mean, I know there have been times when it's kind of been rocky, but you have at times drug us kicking and screaming into some new ideas that everybody now is going, well, yeah, of course we need to do that. So from myself and for the small part of the PHP community that I speak for, thank you for everything that you've done for us.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.